6 minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Thursday, January 27, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And it's, I celebrate every time we get one of America's frontline doctors on the show. And unfortunately, here's my take on a lot of things. I right now know people who are fighting hospital administrators over the care of their loved ones. It's a sad state of affairs, and as much as we try to reach out to them and help them, they are in such distress mode. And the guest that we have on this hour, you're going to want to use that telephone and call 844-769-2944 with your questions, because when we have a frontline doctor on the show, this is your opportunity to get at least, because he's not your medical doctor yet, but he could be. This gentleman has helped hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, since he has discovered all of these issues that are wrong with the medical industry and big pharma and the United States government. I'm looking at hospitals as like, I don't even want to consider that a last resort. I think they're killing people because they're incentivized. I think, when they could diagnose them with COVID, put them on a ventilator, put them on remdesivir, they're going to make $100,000. That to me is a death camp. It's a death trap waiting to happen. I'm sure that, there are a lot of people out there that still believe that going to hospitals, I got to do what my doctor says. Well, you're not getting the whole story, which is one of the reasons why in the Power Hour, we have people like Dr. Brian Artis join us on the show. His website is thedrartisshow.com, and doctor is abbreviated there, DR, Dr. Artis, A-R-D-I-S, show.com. We will send that to you in your email blast so you can reach out and talk to Dr. Artis yourself. And we appreciate Dr. Artis being on the show today. Welcome, sir.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on the Power Hour.
You bet. And now one of the things that got you started in this, and we've talked about this in brief, is something that happened to your father-in-law, and you went tete-a-tete with a hospital on this. Go ahead and elaborate, because there's a lot of people out there can relate to what you just told me.
Yeah, so there's a current criminal and medically criminal environment going on right now in all hospitals around the world, but we'll stick with America at the moment. In early February of 2020, my father-in-law, at 90 years old, completely healthy, no health issues, totally living independent, walked himself into a Dallas-based hospital complaining of fever and a headache. And this was prior to COVID by about 3 weeks coming to Texas. So no restrictions of being able to see him in the hospitals. This guy goes into the hospital. He's diagnosed with the flu on day one. They admit him. They call us on day two to say he now has pneumonia. Day three, they call us to say your father-in-law is now in acute kidney failure. Day five, they tell us that he's now gone unconscious and is now having to be put on a vent to force air into his lungs because of his such severe pneumonia and acute kidney failure. And that's when we went up to the hospital that evening. The only reason why we weren't up there in the first 5 days, because I live in Dallas, is my mother-in-law, same age, but 3 days prior to him walking in the hospital and fallen and broken a vertebrae in her neck and was at a rehab center. So we were with that mother. My wife's sister was with her dad, and the rehab center had asked us to not go visit the dad because if he really did have the flu, we don't want you bringing the flu possibly back to the elderly home at the rehab center with all the elders there. So we respected that, just sent a family member to be with my father-in-law for those 5 days. Until that fifth day, when I heard he was going unconscious and now being put on a vent to force air into his lungs, I went up there with my wife and found in the evening, that evening, that he was actually on a drug called vancomycin. It was being administered intravenously, so into the veins, and it was hanging by the IV bag. And I walked out to the nurse's station, and I said, when's the doctor's going to be here? And they said, 9 a.m., so I was there at 8 a.m., and when he walked into the room, the medical doctor did, I challenged him on everything. I wanted him to show me what he tested for on day one. And we went through all of the pathogens, the bugs, the viruses, all of them, only to find out he actually never tested positive for the flu. He didn't test positive for anything. So I said, why did you call us and say he had the flu? And they said, we thought it was a false negative test. So his symptoms, we believed, were the flu, so we put him on a flu protocol. And I said, well, vancomycin isn't a part of a flu protocol. Vancomycin, the bag hanging on the IV stand going into his veins, is an antibiotic. Antibiotics only treat bacteria. They diagnosed him with a viral infection. So I said, why do you have him on an antibiotic? Antibiotics don't treat viruses. And in fact, I looked at him and I said, and the CDC says antibiotics are not warranted during a viral infection. They can do more harm than good. So how long has he been on that? And he said, since day one. And Dr. Artis, that's not the only antibiotics he's on. He's been on three. And I said, I looked at him and I said, you need to get him off of this one. You know, I looked at him, I said, you know vancomycin causes acute kidney failure. Now I know you've had him on the drug that is putting him into acute kidney failure that you've called me about the last 3 days. And he's getting worse. So you're going to take him off of that right now. And I said, I need you to show me the x-rays in which you diagnosed him pneumonia on day two. So he pulls up the x-rays, points at the x-rays, and he goes, there's the pneumonia. And he's pointing at the bottom of the lungs. And I said, that's not pneumonia. That's pulmonary edema. He had a fine line of water in the base of his lungs. Pneumonia looks like cauliflower all over the x-ray field for the lungs. And there was none of that. And I said, that's not pneumonia. That's pulmonary edema. That means from day one, when you started pumping in full of vancomycin, the antibiotic, that causes acute kidney failure, that night, the first night, it started shutting down his kidneys, and while they had an IV bag of fluid, salt water, going into his veins also, that water was just accumulating in his abdomen, into his heart, and now was flooding into his lungs within 24 hours. Pulmonary edema means water in the lungs, and your kidneys are responsible for excreting water. So if they have a drug shutting down the kidneys, the lungs flood with water, you start drowning the patient to death. So now I know he's been misdiagnosed with the flu because he never tested positive for it. Now I know he's been misdiagnosed with pneumonia. He actually has pulmonary edema. And the drug they're using for the inaccurate viral diagnosis, vancomycin, is responsible for the acute kidney failure they diagnosed on day three. But it actually started on day one and two. Every day they took x-rays of him, and his water levels in his lungs were getting higher and higher until the day five, he was now unconscious because he couldn't get any oxygen to his brain. So then they had to put him on forced air. We challenge them and change all the protocols on day six when I'm up there. He actually wakes up 4 hours later. We actually put him on a drug called Lasix that they had refused to give him for the first 6 days, which helps the body remove added water, extra water. He lost 20 pounds of water in 4 hours on this drug called Lasix. And then the respiratory therapist comes in and listens to his lungs after the 4 hours of treatment and says for the first day in 5 days, all pneumonia-like sounds in his lungs are completely gone. And they turn off the forced air, and he can breathe on his own for the first time. So he's no longer on the vent, no longer on forced air, and he's breathing on his own, and he's maintaining that for the next 5 hours. We go home, 9 o'clock that night. The administration tells the nurse's station to call my wife, the hospital administration, and tell her they were permanently banning the changes that we had done with the doctors that day, earlier that day, that it actually improved his life, and he was now aware and conscious. They went back to the other protocol. I went up there the next morning and challenged them to put them back on the protocol we had made improvements with the day before. They called security, escorted me out of the hospital, and then convinced my wife and her family to follow the original protocol and not listen to me, the guy who helped them actually make the adjustments that made improvements. And I said, if you guys allow them to kick me out of this hospital, looking at my family, I said, just so you know, if you allow them to kick me out, they will actually convince you over the next 48 hours that he's dying, and they're going to put him on palliative care. They're going to overdose him on morphine, midazolam, something. And they actually did that. They did just that on day nine. They killed him by overdosing him on morphine, which they called palliative care. Now, that was in February of 2020. They actually killed my father-in-law in 9 days with these ill-advised hospital protocols and did not listen to the family or me on what I've suggested that actually made improvements. 3 months later, Anthony Fauci declares during this pandemic that now is ravaging the country that there is one drug and one drug only called remdesivir that can be used in all hospitalized COVID-19-treated Americans. And he asked the government to buy up all the stocks of this experimental drug and don't share it with another country until the end of 2020. When he quoted two studies in the memo on NIH.gov, National Institutes of Health, he quoted in May of 2020 that there's two studies that support the use of his suggestion for remdesivir, this drug. Only to find out, when I'm reading those studies in the middle of May 2020, only to find out that not only was that drug not effective against viruses, in an Ebola trial a year earlier, it was found to be the least effective, and it killed 53% of all people they gave that drug to. The second study that he quoted said that, and it actually, in the first study on the Ebola trial, the safety board for the study pulled the drug and said it was too dangerous and deadly to give to any more Africans in Africa during the Ebola virus trial. So Anthony Fauci was lying when he said it was proven safe and effective against that virus. Then he said there was another study in March of 2020 that was proven it's safe and effective against COVID-19 with a small study they did with 53 COVID-19 patients in March of 2020. When I read that study, which was funded and conducted by the maker of Remdesivir, that company's called Gilead Sciences, when I read that study, the conclusions of the study was within 5 to 10 days, 31% of everybody that got the drug that was being
I don't know. It sounds like we might have lost him there. We know that this stuff causes renal failure. I've said this time and time again. Our board staff's going to try to get Brian back on the show here. This is something that Anthony Fauci lied about. And understand that, you know, when we're talking about the government and Gilead Sciences and Bill Gates and everybody that has been connected with this, not a good thing. Dr. Artis, you're back on again, and your thought was we were talking about the Remdesivir study that they tried on 53 patients, and I was saying, let me guess, they probably caused renal failure.
Yep, 31% of the 53 people they gave that drug to within 5 to 10 days experienced multiple organ failure, acute kidney failure, septic shock, and hypotension. And several people had to come off the drug early from the 10-day trial of the drug because the drug killed their kidneys and they needed kidney transplants. That's what happened.
When I read
this, I knew that this drug, Remdesivir, was going to be used to do exactly the same thing they did with my father-in-law with another drug, except Remdesivir is way more toxic than vancomycin is, and vancomycin is a very toxic antibiotic, so and is known to be lethal. So I actually went into the media to warn as many people as possible that there's going to be innocent Americans in hospitals around the country who are going to be murdered with this cocktail chosen by Anthony Fauci of the NIH to be the only drug. And at that point, in May of 2020, this drug, Remdesivir, had been through four human trials and failed all of them. So it had never been FDA approved at that point at all, ever. Never found to be successful in any of the trials. But he selects that as the only one to go into all patients. And in the same memo, he said hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine were found to be deadly by causing heart failure in COVID-19 patients in an international study. He said it was too dangerous on the hearts of individuals with COVID-19 found in Brazil, the study that was published there that was fraudulent, to scare the doctors in the country to not use hydroxychloroquine with COVID-19 and only use Remdesivir. So for the last year and a half, I have been nonstop in the media. I've been interviewed all over the world digitally, and speaking engagements. Spend most of my time each month now with state legislatures, senators, state reps, and Capitol buildings around the country to bring to light the truth that the current hospital mandated protocols, even now, they are 30 times more deadly, the hospital protocols, than the current virus they are treating for. So worldwide still, even now we're with some fifth or sixth variant of COVID-19 virus, still, everyone around the world who's been infected, less than 1% of them have complications that lead to death. 30% of all people who were treated with Remdesivir die between the days of 5 and 10, which is why there's so many high numbers of death still. America ranks number one 2 years into a pandemic with the most dead citizens from COVID-19. America, the great American country with the greatest healthcare system in the world, is the most failed of the pandemic. We have over 880,000 dead people, Americans, in hospitals for the last 2 years. Brazil is second, and it has 650,000 dead. Guess what drug is the only drug Brazilians are using since the first week of March 2021? So almost for this whole year, they're only using that one. And they've seen an additional 400,000 citizens die in hospitals using that drug. So this continues to push the narrative that the virus is deadly, which is what Anthony Fauci, the NIH, the FDA, the CDC needed. They needed people to die in hospitals and then tell the public a virus is killing all of them while we're trying to save them. When in fact, The drug remdesivir is proven, even with statistics from the World Health Organization as of April 2021. They found that of all people treated worldwide, remdesivir has a 20-fold amount of reported acute kidney failure in comparison to other COVID-19 patients around the world being treated with hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibody called tocilizumab, or lopinavir. These are four drugs being used around the world. Only one has a 20-fold the amount of acute kidney failure. So what's happening? You can't breathe. You go into a hospital. They diagnose you with COVID. They pump you full of remdesivir. They shut down your kidneys. They have you on a saline bag or IV bag for fluids. The water can't leave your body. They flood your lungs with water. You can't breathe. And they shove a tube down your throat or through your trachea. They vent you to force air into your lungs to try to keep you alive. And within 5 to 10 days, you're given 5 days of remdesivir either once or twice. The average time period of death is day 9 of treatment. And right now, 2 years later, the NIH still, December 16th, 2021, just 5 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago, just updated their recommendations for drugs approved to treat COVID-19. They only list one drug, FDA approved, they say, to be used in hospitals for all COVID-19 patients. And that drug is remdesivir. And on the same chart, it actually says right next to the name remdesivir and its dosing in hospitals, right next to that is a column called adverse events. And it actually says the drug delivery system for remdesivir is known to cause acute kidney failure and liver failure. Isn't that amazing? They actually know it does that. Well, it even gets worse. Can I just tell your audience some more info about this drug?
Oh, Brian, I'm looking at this and going, wait a minute, if this is true what they're doing, and I just had a friend of mine whose mother just got put in the hospital with the sepsis and UTI and everything else, and she said absolutely no remdesivir. I mean, she knew that. She couldn't pronounce it, but he knew what she was trying to say. I'm just wondering, you know, can we kick in a little men malpractice suit here? I mean, or is this, have they got themselves under the same protocols as the jabs that they're giving everybody now that has all this nanotechnology in it?
Yep, there's actually no liability to any doctors or hospitals using remdesivir as long as there is still declared a national emergency. And when there was a signed CARES Act, which was a part of Operation Warp Speed, every state was given laws surrounding the pandemic as long as it's considered an emergency, that no matter what protocol is used, as long as they're following the federal health agency's guidelines for treating COVID-19 in hospitals, which is remdesivir, inventing them, as long as they're following those protocols, if those protocols lead to death or disease, no one can be held liable. That's what's enforced right now. This is why no attorneys are taking these cases, because we have hundreds of thousands of plaintiffs. They know this is what's happening, but our federal government has provided protection to them, just like our federal government has provided protection to vaccine manufacturers since 1986. So this is really why I've been so engaged with creating the warning. You should not go to a hospital. It is the most deadly place you can go right now in America. It's just a horrific thing. So let me just tell you what has also come to light. Not only do we know for the last 2 years now that this drug causes acute kidney failure and liver failure, confirmed by everybody, we also know that in October of 2021, October 13th to be exact, the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal, this is a heart journal, they published a study on remdesivir alone. And what they found was that remdesivir causes death to heart cells called cardiomyocytes. Remdesivir causes death of heart cells, and it is so cardiotoxic, it is far worse than chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. That was their conclusion. And they said it is known to cause cardiac arrest and heart block, which means portions of your heart can't beat. So not only does it cause acute kidney failure and liver failure, it also stops the heart and damages the heart and leads to cardiomyopathy and blood clot disorders, is what they published. So there is zero benefit to this drug remdesivir. Now, that drug has been being used this entire time only in hospitals for hospitalized COVID-19 patients. Did you hear what they just did yesterday, the FDA?
No.
This drug,
which, I mean, they just, they've done so many things, it's hard to keep up with what they're doing sometimes.
I know. They're so criminal. Okay, so everybody now needs to know remdesivir has only been used in hospitalized patients in America for COVID-19 and around the world until yesterday. The FDA just approved that remdesivir now can be used outpatient to treat all early treatment COVID-19 patients. So now they're going to give you remdesivir outside of hospitals as a treatment option. And this is deplorable. I knew and have been warning that Gilead has been begging the FDA to have approval to give their drug for early treatment and to be competitive against monoclonal antibodies. Well, if you just watch the history here, follow the chronological order, it's only 2 days. January 24th, which is just like 5 days ago, 6 days ago, it was Monday. January 24th, Monday of this week, the FDA came out with a new updated guideline for all COVID-19 treated patients. They said 99% of all cases in America are Omicron, and Omicron does not react to the monoclonal antibodies that are currently being used around the country, like Regeneron. So they're banning the use of these monoclonal antibodies, four of them. And then they said there's only these four drugs that are effective against Omicron. One is an experimental drug by Pfizer right now called Paxlovid, which is $700 a dose. Another drug is molnupiravir, which is by Merck, $700 a dose. It's experimental. Remdesivir was number three. And then number four is a monoclonal antibody called sotrovimab, which has never been used right now because it was found to not be beneficial in any patients whatsoever in, for COVID-19 in hospitalized patients from December 2020 to March of 2021. In fact, the study was canceled after 5 days because there was zero benefit they found from that drug. So, and sotrovimab is a monoclonal antibody that costs $2,100. So the four things the FDA just said, the minimum cost is $700 up to $3,200 for remdesivir. That was on Monday. And then yesterday, which is Wednesday, they came out and said remdesivir can be given as early treatment to all people outpatient. It's the thing they're trying to murder and injure and disease millions of people in our country.
It sounds like it. Dr. Brian Artis, we'd love for you to stick around and take some phone calls if you would. We are at our break. We're going to be back. It's a short break, so we'll be back. And phone lines are open. Stay with us.
I've heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com. Text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Thursday, January 27, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And we have been talking to Dr. Brian Artis, who is, I consider, one of the most outspoken, probably one of the most well-researched, well-read doctors of our time. I met him at Clay Clark's Reawaken America Tour. And, of course, you know, they are out to cancel as much information as our frontline folks are putting out. I mean, just to give you an illustration of how weird it gets, Dan Bongino, he's been permanently banned from YouTube because he uploaded a clip to his main channel while his secondary channel was suspended for violating their policies on another matter. Spotify, because Neil Young complained because Joe Rogan brought up and hijacked Sanjay Gupta, who is CNN's reporter commentary, a medical doctor, on his broadcast, and showed him a package of ivermectin. It's not horse stuff. Now they banned Neil Young, the left-wing walker, from Spotify because he wanted Joe Rogan gone. Montana State basketball broadcaster Mark Martello fired on Monday for criticizing big cities such as Chicago and Portland for their liberal policies, making them dangerous places to live. And I mean, this stuff has moved into medicine. While there are studies that say, like in Brazil, their Technocracy News is reporting ivermectin is working. There's been a huge study found it was a regular use of it as a prophylactic agent was associated with significantly reduced COVID-19 infection, hospitalization, and mortality rates. Yet we have a government out there that a lot of people are trusting, and they basically, all the VAERS systems, 9,936 reports of death following the COVID jab. I mean, this is something else I want to ask Dr. Artis about. Not just because of these protocols that are killing people. I really believe that this is a march to genocide, and these people are violating the Nuremberg Code. Dr. Artis, welcome back, and tell me what you think about that.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. This is why Dr. Rainer Fulmick out of Germany, who's the founder of the German Committee Foundation, who's suing the World Health Organization, conducting the Nuremberg 2.0 trials beginning in Poland. He's also assisting the ICC, the International Criminal Court, to sue the UK, the MHRA, which is their medical advisory, regulatory advisors, and then for the UK and also the World Health Organization. He asked me to come on and talk about why the impact of remdesivir, the knowledge we have, what Anthony Fauci did know. Just, you know, these studies that I told you about remdesivir before he selected it, were actually funded, the Ebola trial, by Anthony Fauci. So he knew how dangerous this drug was, that it killed 53% of all the Ebola victims that they gave it to. And it was the only drug in that trial that had over a 50% mortality rate. So he knew all this stuff. So Dr. Rainer Fulmick reached out, asked me to actually give him an entire 1.5-hour deposition, and then give him documents over the vaccines and my concerns about the COVID-19 vaccines. And all I gave him was all of the research studies on PubMed.gov, and then I gave him, from the FDA, their published list of expected side effects they published in October of 2020, which was 2 months before the shots even went out to the American public. In a presentation they held, the 25-slide presentation, they went through how they were going to be checking for safety and efficacy of the coming COVID-19 shots, and what they knew was going to start being reported to VAERS, what was going to start being reported to CMS, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, what was going to start being reported as side effects to the shots. They already knew what the list was. This list was on a slide, 16 of their 25-slide presentation in October of 2020, and it lists 110 different known diseases that they expected to be reported to the government as a reaction to the shots, COVID-19 shots. It included deaths. It included miscarriages. It included 5 different blood clot disorders. It included 7 different neurological disorders, like being paralyzed from the waist down, called transverse myelitis, which is happening. Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is like modern day, just consider polio, if you can imagine polio, paralyzed legs, hands, arms, half your faces. That's what Guillain-Barré syndrome is. That's actually the first one they listed on that. They listed 80 autoimmune diseases. In fact, it just leaves it blank. It's just one bullet point. Autoimmune diseases is what it says. There's currently 80 diagnosable autoimmune diseases, which means the shots will damage, trauma your own cells with its ingredients, and your own body's going to start attacking your disease tissues. That's what an autoimmune disease is. It lists multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, specifically only in children, and this disease never even existed before the year 2020. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, I took Dr. Rainier Fulmick through, that this was my primary concern because I knew this was before they started giving these shots to kids in America. I knew they were going to eventually give it to kids, even though kids aren't at risk for COVID-19 hospitalization or death primarily. It's very rare. But I knew they'd push all these on the children because there is a mass genocide. Multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, I went through the definitions of the Mayo Clinic. They say this is a condition in which multiple organs in the body of a child will become severely inflamed all at once. Swelling of the brain, swelling of the heart, swelling of the spleen, kidneys, liver, bowels, skin, eyes is what the Mayo Clinic says will all occur at once. And when you read the complications and concerns of the Mayo Clinic with MIS-C, which is what that's abbreviated, multi-system inflammatory syndrome in children, MIS-C, the Mayo Clinic says the concern and complications of all of these organs becoming inflamed at once, which is a side effect of the shots in children, it is lethal and will kill some children. So none of those symptoms, by the way, I just read or told you, I didn't read it, but when I just related to you of MIS-C, none of those are actual symptoms of COVID-19 in children. So why would the vaccine, why would we want to inject something that has that risk in children that isn't a risk of the virus you're trying to protect them against? So when I took Dr. Rainier Fulmick through all of that, he was just blown away and upset, and all of that documentation and research has now been a part of their established Nuremberg trials, which is crimes against humanity, which is what they held after World War One, I believe, or two, to World War Two.
Yeah, with the Nazi doctors. Yeah, what is the doctors, what's right. happening with those? Yeah, what Dr. Artis, what's happening with those lawsuits right now?
Okay, so this is very exciting, by the way, because I mentioned they're doing the Nuremberg Trials 2.0. We don't have really an update with Poland yet, which is the country they are actually going after first. They did file at the same time with the International Criminal Court, though. This is exciting. They filed last week, like 10 days ago, crimes against humanity with the ICC, against the UK Parliament, and against the MHRA, the Medical and Healthcare Regulatory Advisory Committee. They are like the FDA for the UK. They filed charges against them of murder and crimes against humanity with the way they've handled COVID and the mandates and the vaccine programs and the mandates and the hospitalization and what they allowed to occur, which was called end of life care in March and April of 2020. It has come to light that in the UK, like they did in America, they used remdesivir to kill a whole bunch of elderly people in hospitals. This is no joke, and they're still doing it. In the UK in March and April of 2020, they actually approved, the UK Parliament did, with a group called NICE, N-I-C-E. They actually put together a program called End of Life Care, and it was two drugs called midazolam and morphine. These two drugs were to be administered to all care center, picture our nursing homes in America, given to all nursing care citizens in the UK. And in March of 2020, these people just marched into the nursing homes, and in every single patient that was 65 years and older, they pumped midazolam, gave them injections of midazolam and morphine. And 18,000 of them died in March of 2020, and 25,000 of them were murdered in April of 2020. And they called these deaths COVID-19. The only problem was none of the citizens were sick. Now, I don't know if you know this, but midazolam combined with morphine in this scenario, midazolam is the drug that some states still today in America use as the drug in the lethal injections on death row. This is how deadly that drug is. They use it to kill people on death row. It has been deemed so inhumane and traumatic in some of these injections, these end-of-life injections for death row inmates in some states in America, that 10 years ago it's been banned in multiple states because they considered it too dangerous and toxic for the person they're trying to kill. Isn't that amazing? This drug is being injected into all these poor, innocent elderly to drive the COVID narrative in March and April of 2020 for the UK citizens that people are dying of COVID. It's super dangerous. Everybody needs to get the vaccines, blah, blah. This is what they set up. When Rainier Fulmick and the ICC filed charges of crimes against humanity to the UK Parliament, and they held the Prime Minister Boris Johnson liable, that was the day before he came out last week and said, we are dropping, before the Parliament, he said, we're dropping all mandates related to COVID. The pressure of these lawsuits is making a difference. So it was, wow. It wasn't shocking to any of us to see this, but Boris, the Prime Minister of the UK, came out last Tuesday and said, I think it was last Tuesday, he said, in front of the whole world, there's no longer going to be mask mandates for children in schools. There's no more mask mandates for any public venue in the UK. There's no more vaccine passports or certifications required in any places in the UK. He dropped all mandates related to COVID as a result of the International Criminal Court, with the help of Dr. Rainier Fulmick and their documentation and what we've provided to them to help them show. And I've been exposing this midazolam killing drug in the UK with multiple people over the last year. When they heard my announcements of how they're killing innocent people in America, you have to understand this is well-orchestrated genocide. So let me tell your audience, when March and April of 2020, the UK was using midazolam and morphine, the lethal injection for death row inmates, and they were injecting innocent elderly people to kill a whole bunch of innocent people in their homes and dragging out their bodies and calling them COVID-19, in America, in New York, at the same time, we had this epicenter of the early on COVID pandemic in March and April of 2020. Remember all the New York people were talking about how many people were dying in hospitals and how dangerous this was, blah, blah. Do you know that in hospitals in New York, they were only using one drug on all COVID-19 patients? It was remdesivir. And they were using it in March and April, and they were putting patients in all New York hospitals in a room, closing a door and not allowing people to go in, and they put this warning on the door, clinical trial of the drug remdesivir in use. That's what it said. And they were using that every day and killing all these people with remdesivir to drive the narrative for Americans that there's this deadly virus sweeping through New York and it's killing all these people, and it wasn't. It was remdesivir from the beginning. And then they scared everybody and convinced them that there's going to be a vaccine that's going to be coming to be your savior. The whole agenda has been to kill a whole bunch of elderly people. They're still doing it. When I give out numbers of remdesivir and deaths of remdesivir to hospitalized Americans, in the state of New York alone, for this entire pandemic, we've gotten people in the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services to pull the data for all Medicare-aged patients, 65 years and older, in hospitals in New York treated for COVID-19, 26.9% of all of them die within 5 days of the first five-day dose of remdesivir, which is the treatment protocol. That's 26.9% of all of them die. Remember, the virus only kills less than 1% of all people who get the infection. Your likelihood of dying in a hospital is far greater. And right now, Medicare is bribing all hospitals with a 20% bonus payout to only use remdesivir in all Medicare-aged patients. They're already paying them $2,500 for the 5 days, Medicare is, to the hospital when they use it. And they're incentivizing them with a 20% add-on bonus to make sure they give remdesivir to either one day of five-day treatment or 2 5-day treatments equaling 10 days. Which ensures the majority of them will die by day 9 and 10.
So yeah, now look at this too.
Criminal
it is.
Outlook.
Well, see, and we read the names of all the defendants on the show, and Fauci and Desac and others were named in that criminal complaint filed with the ICC, were they not?
Yes, they were.
The thing that I'm looking at here, because it is genocide, I have been saying this forever and a day, and people are like, whoa, 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 wait a minute, Dave, I think it's a little bit of a reach. No, I believe what you're saying as far as if you could drive the numbers up and kill these people. One, the government doesn't have to pay their Social Security benefits anymore, so that's another way to help save Social Security, because it's already bankrupt morally. It's the biggest Ponzi scheme, according to Dr. Gary North, who was Reagan's senior economic advisor. And so now we have to have a narrative that drives a narrative that drives a narrative. And pretty soon we've killed over a million people with these narratives, and they keep moving the goalposts, and people are still buying into this nonsense. I am surprised, Dr. Artis, they haven't come after your medical license like they have other doctors.
Oh, the NIH has reached out to my own board here in Texas, and they've already been notifying me that the NIH is aware. I've gotten the NIH's attention, the National Institutes of Health, because I found on their website 4 months ago that they had buried on their site this guidelines for, it was actually titled Table 2E, and it was titled Characteristics of Antiviral Agents Approved or Under Evaluation for the Treatment of COVID-19 Patients. Now, you had to actually, I don't even know how I found the chart. I was just going through NIH, just doing a rabbit hole search in NIH.gov's website, and I found this chart, and on the chart it had listed three drugs that were approved to use on COVID-19 hospitalized patients. It was remdesivir, the second one was ivermectin, and the third one was nicotinamide. Ivermectin and this nicotinamide drug are both antiparasitic drugs, and it gave the doses. When I found this chart, I actually pumped it out to the media. I called Thomas Renz, the attorney. I had made sure that all the attorneys knew who it was. I passed it over to senators, legislators, so they knew. And then to all audiences, I made sure everyone printed that chart and then gave it to the hospital doctors and administrators to show them that it's on the NIH's website, and it gives the doses of how to use these products other than remdesivir. It actually told you the 5-day treatment period for ivermectin that was proven to be effective. I've been pumping that chart out and getting thousands of people out of hospitals, saving their lives, getting them off of remdesivir, and doctors are following this recommendation from this chart. They updated that chart on December 16th, and now they only, and they said right next to remdesivir, it says the only drug approved by the FDA to treat COVID-19. Ivermectin is still on the chart, but right next to it, it says not approved for COVID-19 per the FDA. And then it says we do have it in clinical trials. That one clinical trial, we will publish its results. This is not a joke. We will publish the results March of 2023. So they're giving themselves a whole other year to murder you. And the interesting thing is that every time I go into lectures, meet with senators, legislators, I'll put up on the screen this chart that I've been exposing for the last 4 months, and I will circle specific things on the chart related to remdesivir. For example, on the chart, it actually said the version that was updated July 8th called Table 2E. It's now Table 2F. But Table 2E, it had listed there that remdesivir, they allowed the parameters of when you start pumping this into a human, we allow the ALT and AST numbers in your blood of the patient to be elevated 10 times normal. I just need to set this for you. ALT and AST elevations in your blood means your liver is being killed. This is liver toxicity. It's one of the multiple organ failures of remdesivir. It causes liver failure. And ALT and AST elevations in the blood tells you that. But I just have to let you know, France did their own study with remdesivir in November of 2020. And they only gave the drug for 14 days to five people. Four people had to come off the drug before day 10 because two of them needed kidney transplants because remdesivir killed their kidneys. The other two were taken off of the drug remdesivir because their ALT number went up 3 to 5 times normal, and they considered that lethal. So they took that off the patient. They didn't allow the patients to get it anymore. Two of the five patients died. Only one lived through the 14-day of poisoning. Only one. So France never decided to use remdesivir, and they haven't. That's why they don't have death numbers like us. The fact that the French practitioners and scientists knew that liver enzyme activity 3 to 5 times was dangerous and lethal, and therefore they pulled the patients off of remdesivir because they knew it was deadly. The fact that Anthony Fauci and the NIH published that they're going to allow ALT numbers to go up 10 times the normal range, this is completely nefarious and medically horrible. They knew that they could kill people and allow doctors to watch a 10 times elevated liver enzyme activity, and I would circle it on the chart. Just be aware, France stopped all drug treatments for remdesivir because 3 to 5 times abnormal ALT levels or they knew were lethal. Anthony Fauci and NIH are saying all doctors will let you take that level up to 10 times normal. Well, they took it off the chart. I mean, I kept circling that for like 4 months, this new updated version. They didn't include that. Instead, they replaced it with a statement with a link, and it says, to learn more about the parameters, click this link. The link goes to the emergency use authorization for remdesivir, and guess what's on one of those pages? It goes through the parameters, and it actually still states, it's just not on the NIH chart, it states on the EUA for remdesivir, we allow patients in hospitals to be drugged with remdesivir and allow their ALT numbers to go up to 10 times normal. And I'm like, oh, my God, you guys are so ridiculous. You're trying to hide the stuff that before I found. But anyway, so they're attempting at all odds to try to keep you from being aware of just how dangerous these drugs are. Ivermectin on the table 2E, by the way, when it listed side effects of the drug, the first listed side effect was generally listed, bullet point, generally well tolerated by all.
Amazing how that works, isn't it? Doctor Artis, we got callers coming in here. Patrice in Ohio, you're on the phone with Dr. Brian Artis. What's your question?
Well, it isn't a question. It's a statement. Congress is in on this. That's why we're not getting any help. There's no way anybody with half a brain in Congress would know what to do. They're all in on it, and they all benefit. Because ultimately, they think they're the government, and they forgot we the people are the government.
Yeah,
no one's accountable for anything.
Very true. Did you guys hear me how the NIH was suing Moderna because they actually had authorized Moderna to actually make a vaccine if they could have royalty rights to the patents for the Moderna vaccine? So the NIH sued Moderna because Moderna never gave it to them. But now the NIH has been given those royalties on the Moderna vaccine, which they push on all Americans. Isn't that amazing?
Well, what about Congress, though? Yeah, Brian, what about Congress? Patrice has a good point. Why isn't Congress doing something to shut this genocide off?
Yeah, you're right. So every time we go before state legislatures, it's amazing. When I bring all this data and information to them, the senators are shocked. They're like, oh, my God, we never knew this. I mean, really, the ones that do show up, they're shocked. They can't believe it. And then they go, well, what do we do? And they ask all of us medical professionals, what do you do? And we keep telling them to hold public hearings and bring in their state boards, their state pharmacy boards, state medical boards, and you hold public hearings and you demand them to tell you. Congress, for sure, our federal government is completely behind and being paid and receiving incentives for continuing this narrative. How in the world can you really expect that after 2 years, our federal government even has any more funds? They have been funding all of the vaccines. You're not paying for them. They're funding all of these new kits they're sending out to you. They're funding all of the incentives to hospitals. They're incentivizing all the hospitals to use remdesivir, vent them to death, $130,000 just for that, with a 20% add-on bonus for all of that. How are they actually funding all of this? How are they able to afford to pay $3,000 for every Medicare-age patient when ivermectin costs $1 for the same daily dose as remdesivir costs $3,000. They are literally murdering people, trying to cull the herd of the Medicare aged group to reduce the amount of funding they have to pay in the future from Social Security and Medicare to those individuals. This is obvious. It's very obvious. And the only way that this could possibly be allowed to go on this long is if Congress is a part of it. You're absolutely right. It's not a question.
Yep, I appreciate your call, Patrice. We thank you so much for that, and you're absolutely right. I've always had a problem with this because it's like Rand Paul, Ron Johnson, and the people who have cornered Fauci, the senator from Kansas, and they exposed his financials. I mean, it's just not enough. I mean, these people are literally just allowing them to do whatever they want to do and continue with these protocols, and that's why I've been advising people, and I'm not a medical doctor, but hey, I've been doing the research since January of 2020, and after talking to Dr. Judy Mikovits 3 different times, including over dinner, over this whole thing, knowing her personally and what she's going through and what the government and Fauci did to her, and I'm just, you know, God bless you, Dr. Artis, for every single thing that you are doing out there to help people wake up. The website is the DrArdisShow.com. We're going to post that on our website. And if you want to reach out, is that the best way to reach out to you, sir?
Yep, you can email us through there. There's a contact form there. If you want to book me for other shows or interviews, that's where you do it there. If you need patient advocacy for your loved ones in hospitals that are being given these horrible protocols and murderous protocols, we have an advocacy team there. You just click the Get Help button, and Michelle Routon has a team of advocates representing all 50 states and in Canada. Those resources are there. If anybody wants our newsletters or my new media interviews or interviews from my show that goes out through our newsletter, you just subscribe with your email. If you want to register on the site, you create a free username and password. When you sign in, only when you sign back in to the site, after you create your username and password, this new tab appears called Resources. That Resources page does not appear until you sign in. And it's everything COVID-related, every form, every document. I actually now have what's called a natural immune health cocktail to offset the damage and atrocities created by these shots. If people are getting the vaccines or being shed on by the shots. Also, under the shop button, if you go there, there's this new category called 10 for 10. It is three segments I just created with a 40-year board-certified cardiologist named Thomas E. Levy. The actual Pfizer and Moderna shots, it is published that myocarditis and pericarditis, which is heart inflammation, which is lethal over a 2 to 5 year period for 50% of all people that gets this, is a listed side effect of the Pfizer and Moderna shots on the FDA fact sheets. Dr. Thomas E. Levy and I created a 10-minute video with a PDF that you can download. It's $10, and I split the revenue with these docs to help me save as many lives as possible. We have one on myocarditis, how to reverse it clinically and at home. We also have how to beat hypertension naturally and how to actually beat long haulers COVID, or what they call chronic COVID. And we educate audiences on how to do that. We're trying to create resources to thwart their agenda. And I'm lining up people to help me do just that. So that's our attempt, and that's where you find out about it.
I appreciate that, Dr. Artis, so much for being on this show. That's it. That's all the time we have for today, folks. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. And again, Dr. Brian Artis, thank you so much. You can go to him at thedrartisshow.com and sign up. In the meantime, stay safe. We've just given you a solution. Use it. Dave Krieger, God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.